So this is Kayla Evans, and I am interviewing Linda Worsley. Today's date is October 25th, 2019, and we are at the Town of Princeville temporary town offices. So first, can I ask what your full name is?
Linda Glass Worsley.
And where and when were you born?
I was born in Princeville, North Carolina on March the 17th, 1950.
And in Princeville, did you have any other family members in the area? And if so, who?
I had an uncle, his wife, and two kids. I had a lot of family members in Princeville, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There were cousins and by the dozens. It was just a lot of my family members there, the Glasses. And then on my mom's side, there were actually a few of the Cofields as well.
And were your parents from Princeville?
Actually, they moved to Princeville in 1949.
What brought them here?
They got married. They lived in the county until then, but my grandfather and his brother actually bought property shortly after they moved here, and so they also moved in the area.
And so what was it like growing up in Princeville?
It was a lot of fun to me. At that time, we walked to school. You know, the old Princeville museum that they have over there was actually a school at that time. As a matter of fact, my dad went to that school, and he's 94 years old now. So we went to school there. We had good teachers. They made sure we learned something before we left their classes. And if you didn't, your parents knew. And then they knew it was up to them to make sure we got what we needed to do. I walked to school on a daily basis. I would walk, and then we'd pick up the next door neighbors and the next door neighbors, and we all walked to school. We did not know what a cafeteria was at that time, so we had to take our lunch. But it was very convenient because two doors down from the school, there was a convenience store. It had some of everything in it, from shovels and hoes to seeds to cookies, 2 4-penny cookies, candies, sodas were 5 cents. And we just went in when we took our break, went in and bought our little cookies and little sodas and went back to school, and we had our lunch. We had an hour for lunch.
And what did you do for fun?
Oh, we played hopscotch, dodgeball, hide and seek, ain't no bears out tonight. Then we played baseball. We didn't have like a baseball like we had. We got a piece of wood and a ball, and we played. And we had a little field out there where we played ball. And we made our own bases and all that. And we also had a merry-go-round out there. And I guess that we call it a tomahawk, where you use your hands to pull up and walk through there. And then we had a little sliding pool where we would crawl up the top of the thing, and then it had little poles that we could slide down.
What about when you were a teenager?
Teenager, then we had the little, the girls would get together on Sunday afternoon, and we would walk up and down the street where we knew the boys would be. So we would kind of meet up with the guys and then walk up and down the street holding hands and that kind of thing. There were some little clubs in an area that we could go and put money in a machine in the machine and play music, and we would do that on Sunday afternoon, dance and have a good time. But I had to be back home before it got dark. That was my dad. Now if we're a little late coming home, he would get in that car and try to find you. But we did have some little shortcuts, so we would take to kind of duck him so we could get back home, and we would be there by the time he got back.
And so were there any times in your life that you lived outside of Princeville for like college or work or?
No, I have always lived in Princeville. I did live out in the county for, I would go out, like my parents had public jobs. So my mom would work at China America Tobacco Factory that was located in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. My dad worked at Henderson Lumber Company and different companies here in Tarboro. So from September until December, I went to school in the county.
Of Edgecombe.
Edgecombe County Schools. And then from January to June, I went to Princeville School. And I did that the first 5 years of attending school. After that, my mom finally got a job, public job, year-round, and then we were able to stay home, and they just stayed in Princeville and went back and forth to school.
So you knew everyone?
I knew who lived in every house in Princeville at that time. And they knew us, and you know if you did something wrong, it was like, it does take a village to raise a child. And believe you me, this village, let me put it this way. They didn't have a whole lot of phones and cell phones, but your parents found out what you were doing before you got home.
Yes, word travels quick. Mm-hmm. So what is or what was your profession and how did you choose it?
Well, I started out when I first graduated from high school to be a nurse. And I was in the very first class that they had at Edgecombe Community College. Unfortunately, being grown, we had to, I went to school and I worked at the same time. My first public job was at Carolina Enterprise. That was a plastic plant where we made toys for kids. We did buttons and we made hula hoops. And the first hot cycle that the little kids, we made those at that plant as well. We made baseball, we made the little plastic baseballs with the bats to go with them and that kind of thing. Then I went to another company that made little children's clothes. And from there I went to a place where, what did we make there? We made material at the next place that I went to. I left there and went to Glenard Mills where we made rugs and fake fur. And then I left there and I went to Carolina Telephone. And I worked there for 25 years and retired. Wow. Then all of a sudden, after I retired, then I stayed retired for a year and a half. Then I got a job, again, working with the Board of Elections office. And during that time, Carolina Telephone had merged in with Sprint. So they were making transitions to Wake Forest. That was their main headquarters after that for a while. And my supervisor came in one day and asked me when I come back to help with the transition. So I was supposed to work 3 months to help them transition from the Tarboro, Rocky Mount areas to Wake Forest, North Carolina. And I ended up working there 11 months. And so after that 11 months, when everything was transferred over, I went back home. And then my parents were coming to the Princeville Senior Center. And so I would go in and help the director at that time with her paperwork, helping her with the computer work and that kind of thing. And unfortunately, she got tired and she asked me, would I take her job? And so she asked me for about 3 or 4 months. So finally I said, well, let me go and see what actually needs to be done and what you do. So believe it or not, I went there that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And that Friday when I got there, she wasn't there. Her husband had gotten sick. So I took over, and I've been there ever since.
So what about, were you ever married? Are you married?
Well, I've been married. I was married when I got married in 1975. But my husband passed away April the 21st, 2017. I have one son and one granddaughter, and that's my family.
So when, so you said that you got married in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
How did you guys meet?
At a club.
On a Sunday?
No, this time that was on a Saturday night. But when I got grown, then I could go out when I got ready. For usually it was like a Saturday night because I was on a night shift and we kind of seemed like the only night that I had free was Saturday night. I would go out a little while on Sundays, but Sundays I had to go back to work on Monday, so I didn't want to hang out too late. But yes, I met him at a club, and he was from Oaks, the Martin County area. And so, anyway.
And you said that you have a son?
I have a son.
And a grandchild.
And one granddaughter.
Where do they live?
With me.
Oh.
They're still with me. My son's working at Yale in Greenville. He's also a volunteer fireman. And my granddaughter, she lives with me. She's 27 now. And she is a nurse's NA2. And she's working in Wilson at a state facility for mentally ill and whatever.
And so, how involved are you with the Princeville community, you and your family?
Oh, okay. Well, my dad, who is 94 years old now, he and some other members in the community actually formed the Princeville Volunteer Fire Department.
When was that?
Ooh, child. I don't know. It was in the early, late 60s or early 70s, somewhere like that, when Princeville Volunteer Fire Department was formed. I'm not really sure exactly the year now. But he's still living, and I think about four or five others may still be living, just about everybody else that was involved in it during that time has passed away. And in 1986, I was a commissioner for the town of Princeville for 15 years.
What made you decide to do that?
Huh? Well, actually, my cousin was already involved in it. She got married and moved to Maryland. And we all were living in the same ward, so she asked me, would I consider taking her, fulfilling her position until it was time to be to have another election. And so she presented it to the board, and the board accepted me. And so for 15 years, I worked with the town of Princeville in Upper Coastal Plains, which was formerly Regional Council of Governments. And I was a secretary for 2 years and vice chair for 2 years there.
So you were a commissioner during Hurricane Floyd?
Yes, that is correct.
Can you tell me about that?
Ooh, child, that was devastating. I never seen anything like that. Princeville had always flooded, but Princeville didn't flood like it did when Floyd came. I don't remember anybody ever having to demolish their house. I don't ever remember people have to go in and rebuild anything inside their homes. But Floyd, when Floyd came, my house stayed underwater for 10 days. When I got back home, I didn't get any farther in the front door because everything had floated everywhere. My ceiling fan was on my bed. I had just bought a brand new bedroom set. Hadn't even taken some of the stuff out of the boxes yet. All that was gone. My washing machine was sitting on top of my dryer. My refrigerator was laying flat down on the floor. And it was just, everything was everywhere.
What was that like for you?
It was actually devastating. I went to the hotel and I stayed there. And as the days went on and you heard about all the devastation all over the town, excuse me, knowing that I had lost everything, knowing that my neighbors and my families had lost everything, it was heartbreaking because we didn't know what to do next. And being a commissioner, people were coming to me saying, what we're going to do, what we're going to do. We, as a group, had never experienced anything like that, so we couldn't tell them what to do. So that's when the FEMA and other organizations came in, and we start to have our meetings, and we went from there.
Did you expect your home to flood at all? Was that something that you...
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, even though the town of Princeville had flooded every now and then from time to time, where I live, they had never been recorded of it ever flooding back there. But that night when we got ready to leave home, I looked outside and I told my husband, I said, you know, I have never seen water come back here like this before in my life. Something is not right. So I packed. So I grabbed my granddaughter and got in my car. I left my stepdaughter. I called her and told her I was leaving home. So you stay where you are. And I couldn't get her dad to leave, my husband to leave. So my son said, Ma, you know, you might need to drive your car on out of here, and I'm going to drive my truck. I said, well, okay. So we got in the car, and he got in his truck and left. Leaving like I'm thinking, you know, my parents had already left. But I left like I'm coming back home the next day, you know. And so I just had one change of clothes and a nightgown and a pair of shoes. But I did have three changes of clothes for my granddaughter. And my son had got a couple of things for himself because he thought he was coming back home as well. So we left home. You might want to unplug me. We left home, and as I drove down Main Street, water was everywhere. It was coming up. And when I got to a certain spot, it just felt like it was running. And I called my husband. I said, now you might need to want to leave home because this water really high. Oh, he said, oh, no, I'm not going anywhere. That water's not going to do anything. So I got to the hotel. Found out my mom and dad didn't go to the hotel. They went to the school. So we went to the school and got them and brought them over to the hotel. And that morning, the phone rang. Somebody called me on the phone, and it was my husband. He was calling me, telling me that water was coming through the back door of the house. He couldn't see anything. Water was, it had flooded back there so bad that water had already was always level with the street. And where we were kind of low down than what the street was, but the water was coming through the front and the back door. So I told him the only thing that he could do now was to get on top of the roof, and I called the sheriff department and tell them where he was, and that's what he did. So they got him one of these big trucks that they use to put up electrical wires in rivers and that kind of thing. They actually had one, like a shovel, and they wrenched through on the roof and got him off the roof, and he got in the shovel, and they brought him over. In the meantime, I was being devastated because that, like I said, I just didn't know what I was going to do, so I called my job, and they told me to come to Rocky Mount. And they had set up a room over there for me at the hotel. So I stayed there about 3 weeks. But where the hotel was right across the street, just about from where I worked at, so I could go back to work. But they could not come back home or anything right then. So we stayed there for about 3 weeks, and then I went over and talked with the Red Cross and everything, and they set me up in an apartment over there. But it was devastating to have so many people have nowhere to go and nowhere to stay, and then didn't even know what to expect the next day. But we survived. I had no idea. They were telling us we were in a 500-year floodplain. Didn't understand that was saying the conditions were like a 500-year floodplain. Had no idea that we were going to be right back in the same situation 17 years later.
Tell me about that.
Well, when I left home that time, I left home, it was raining real hard. I said, well, I'm not going to get caught back here this time. So I put a few things in the suitcase. Put a few things in the suitcase for my granddaughter because she was working. And my son, he was running around with the fire department in different places because they were getting calls all everywhere. So I put things in there and I went back over to the same hotel again. I told them I was coming. And so I stayed over there. I stayed over there from October until January of 2017 at the hotel. That was my home. And as of yet, I'm still not back home. And it is 3 years because I had insurance. Unfortunately, I had gotten an SBA loan from the 99 flood. I had insurance, but when Matthew came, they told me because I had insurance that was considered duplication of benefits. So my insurance paid me enough money to pay off the SBA loan. And then I signed up for other grants and everything that were going on. And I just found out this year, almost 3 years later, that because of that insurance, they called it a duplication of benefits. And then they told me that they couldn't help me. So now here I am now, paying rent, something I hadn't done in 40 years. Right now, I have paid over $20,000 in rent on something that will never be mine. It's very disappointing. And to top it all off, my husband died. Then the hell came this past year. They totally lost my car. I had to get a new car. I was diagnosed with 3 blockages. My main artery is from my heart. I have taken tests for that, but finally the doctor has told me that in June that my heart is fine. So then my dad's been sick. I've buried 2 first cousins in the last month. My dad just got out of the hospital yesterday. And then just think about what I'm going to do next, how I'm going to be able to live, where am I going to be able to live. It has really taken a toll on me and my body. But I try not to let it show. I thank God he has given me the strength to go on with my life without it stressing me completely out where I need to go somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So that has been my life.
With that, when the flooding happens in Princeville, there's a lot of talk about recovery and mm-hmm. the word resilience gets thrown mm-hmm. around, especially we're rebuilding Princeville. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
To me, it means that they're going to do something about the way the water flows in Princeville. And my insight is if the water can come down the rivers and certain areas are not being flooded, why is it that when it gets here, it floods? Now, the dike is there. It did what it was supposed to do this last time. But unfortunately, the water came around where they had stopped at and came right behind my house. That's time. My house was some of the first ones to actually get flooded this last time, which before it was some of the last. And then they get these pumps. Once they get in Princeville, then they can get pumps to pump the water out of Princeville. My thing is, with all these million of dollars, with all these engineers, with all these inventors, and they really don't have to invent it because they're actually doing something somewhere like Niagara Falls and places like that. I have never heard of them ever flooding, where they should be able to have machines where, as once that water comes at a certain level, it should be able to pump it further down the line and do that all the way down to the coast. That's what I think they should do. That way, well, that would cover it, and I think it would be more resilient for everybody that lives close to the water and the rivers that have been flooding.
How far away from the water is your house?
Well, it's, the house would be about a half a mile because I live right over by the bypass. Bypass blocks me from the river, which is about a half a mile away. But like I said, until they built the bypass or the dike, whatever the bypass, it never flooded over there where I lived at. So I'm feeling that if they can do that for certain areas, that water, when it gets a certain level, just pumping on down the rivers, we will be in a lot better shape. I feel like we'll be more resilient to the flooding. The wind and the rain, we can't do anything about. But I do believe they can do more than what they've done with the flooding.
What about the community of Princeville? How do you think
they're... Oh, I would love... I feel like they feel the same way. We as the original people from Princeville, we still love Princeville. And for me, that has been home, and hopefully it will be home again. And for most of the people that actually were born and raised in Princeville feel the same way. There are some others that, because of their age, they rather not have to go through the stress again. And I can understand that because it is very stressful. But there are still others that are still trying to move there. All the housing and the apartments that are in existence now that they have rebuilt, I actually filled to the brim and got waiting list. So that being said, I feel like there are more people that would love to move back to Princeville if they could just try to do something about that dike. And that way also that they wouldn't have to worry about being lifted up so high or houses being raised so high, that because a lot of us have knee problems.
Because that is an idea, right? Mm-hmm. To lift the homes.
Yeah, that's called the elevation. That is an idea to do the elevation, and just don't know how they're actually going to lift them. And there are some areas in Princeville where, according to statistics, that the homes won't have to be raised, according to statistics now. But and then there are others like. They're telling me that my house may need to be raised about 10 feet. That's a lot of feet to me. So
you're talking about the people of Princeville and who've been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Their families are mm-hmm. from Princeville. After these catastrophic floods happen, how does the community come together? How do they react?
Well, now, when we got together... like a lot of us were staying at the hotels. We did Thanksgiving dinner at the hotels. Some of us did Christmas at the hotels. So we got together and we talked about different things and we tried to find out as much information as possible as to what they needed to do and where they needed to go. So most of the people are very interested in being where they are. And loving Princeville, a lot of people still are not in Princeville that would love to get back to Princeville, but they don't have anywhere to go. And then we got other people that don't have the monies because a lot of their homes were owned by family members, and there are like a lot of heirs. And when you started talking about deeds and that kind of thing, it's really hard to try to get a grant for something that has so many names on it. So that's another reason why a lot of people are not back in their homes, because a lot of that property was heir property. And according to these grants, when you get these grants, you know, you got to have one sole owner, or everybody will have to have signed the lease and everything to make sure that they are in agreement with whatever happens to the house.
So why is Princeville important to you?
Because it was my home. It's my home, born and raised.
What does it mean to be from Princeville?
To me, it means that I am living in a place where free slaves were brave enough, smart enough, intelligent enough to build their own town, to have their own rules and regulations. They had their own sheriff department, well, police department, and then we got a fire department. They had their own municipality, whereas they had all the electric officials that lived in the area. That was something in the 1800s that no other town can say they did and was able to become a town before the town of Princeville. Edenville has, it's close, but Princeville did it in 20 years. In 1885, they became a town.
So how much do you think the history of Princeville's told in North Carolina history as far as schools or textbooks?
None at all. Until 1999, very few people even knew about the town of Princeville being the oldest town chartered by blacks in America. And there are still some that don't know. But I'm proud to say that we did have people even back in the day that were smart and intelligent enough to do what they did and be able to let people know. Now more and more people are knowing about the town of Princeville now. So to me, Florida was a blessing to that helped us to get on the map.
And why do you think Princeville isn't being represented in history?
Because we were a predominant black town. That's it in a nutshell. Because of who we are and who they were.
And so should North Carolinians know more about Princeville?
Yes, they should. I think that they should, because even at that would also bring forth a lot of stuff for the state of North Carolina. The Lost Colony was one on the white side. So Princeville is one on the black side. And that could also help the state of North Carolina as well. If they would come in and just step in and help rebuild and do what needs to be done, I think it would be nice. I think it would bring more people to North Carolina, especially, black, white, Hispanic, or whomever. I feel like they would come because of the history. But if they don't have anything to come to, that's what's killing us. And I feel like if the state would jump in and help us to really rebuild the town of Princeville locally. I'm not talking about the 53 acres. Locally, where the history actually began, that it would bring more people to the state of North Carolina.
What do you think they should know? What is important to know about Princeville?
Princeville is the oldest town chartered by blacks in America. And it was formed by free slaves in 1865, and they were intelligent enough to go to the legislature in 20 years and request township for the town of Princeville.
And who should they know about?
Turner Prince.
He was the founder.
He was one of the founders of Princeville. Turner Prince did a lot of building in Tarboro, North Carolina. And I feel like a lot of the things that were left over from that town was when they actually start building the little shacks over in Princeville.
And how do you think we should teach people more about Princeville?
It should be in the history books, North Carolina history.
And so the town of Tarboro is right next door.
Mm-hmm.
What is the relationship like between Tarboro and Princeville?
They have a good relationship. I think Tarboro was very popular back in the day as well, because at one time they were actually thinking about making Tarboro the capital of North Carolina. And one of the reasons were because of the number of slaves and everything were being transported to the town of Tarboro and sold here. And people traveled from a lot of the areas in order to purchase their slaves as well.
And so you had mentioned the 53 acres.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
53 acres is something that the town and the state has actually, some land that they have actually purchased since Matthew. And they're considering building another like subdivision out there for the town of Princeville.
And how do you, as someone who's from Princeville, feel about that?
It's fine with me, because that will bring some of our younger people back to the town of Princeville. I feel like the bypass out there where they're talking about building it is a map to wherever they need to be, can get them there fast, an expressway to all over North Carolina. And that this would be a nice, quiet place to visit after you going through the hustle and bustle of the big cities in North Carolina.
And so what about Shiloh Landing? Can you tell me about that?
Shiloh Landing is actually where they were saying that their slaves were actually shipped to, and then they were actually marched into the town of Tarboro to be sold. It is, like I said, it's a landmark within itself. So there again, between Shiloh's Landing, the town of Tarboro, and Princeville, good publicity for the state of North Carolina. Both positive and negative, but it all happened, so it's still history.
Have you ever gone to Shiloh Landing?
Oh, yes. Yes, quite a few times. Actually, it's just it looked like a little area where at that particular time the boats were, but they've actually built a walkway all the way around it and down there, and there you can just stand out there. A lot of people go down there to fish, get on their boats and everything down there, and just kind of travel all around the Tar River.
And can you tell me what having a place like Shiloh Landing and Tarboro and Princeville, what does that mean to you?
That means that Edgecombe County within itself has a lot of history here, and it's some history that should be preserved.
Is there anything else that you think I should know about Tarboro, the people of Tarboro, the flooding?
Well, there were some sides of Tarboro as well that were flooded. In 1999, a lot of the people sold out then, but they still have the school back there where there was Patola School. And a lot of the citizens are still there in the area, and like I said, but a lot of them still moved out. So Tarboro and Princeville have a lot of history that they can share with not only the United States, but with the world, and let them know what the outcomes are, because it's good to know that even though you were born in poverty, you don't have to live in poverty, you don't have to stay in poverty, you can do better right in your hometown, you don't have to move all the time.
So when Princeville floods, how does Tarboro help?
Well, most of the time they will come in and like here now, well, they're letting us use this building and that kind of thing. They let us have our meetings and everything in the county buildings and that kind of thing.
And so, do you have any people that you think we should talk to that could give us as incredible as an insight as you have? Or as close to it, because you're pretty principal.
Have you spoken with Mr. Bridges yet?
I don't think so, no.
Mr. Ed Bridges would be the best one. He's 100 years old, but this man is fantastic when it comes to the town of Princeville. He was born and raised here as well. He was a former commissioner and the former mayor of the town as well.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Ed Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
What about your parents? Do you think that they'd be?
Well, my dad, not now because he has dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, she's not a talker. But I'm curious, have you talked with Delia Perkins? She's also a former mayor.
We have not. How do you, Perkins?
Mm-hmm. We still got, let me see, Mayor Perkins, Mayor Priscilla Everett Oaks, Mayor Batchelor. Well, Mayor Baker, he's in the rest home. He has dementia real bad. Well, he's younger than any one of those I just named. But he's been in the rest home for a while. All those are former mayors at the town of Princeville.
Wow. And so, as you know, we're going to hopefully put together some sort of exhibit for the Traveling Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a chance to go see that yet?
I haven't been in there yet, but I need to inform you all that I have some pictures that came from the old museum over here in this room. Have y'all seen those?
I have not. That's what I was going to ask about.
Mm-hmm. I don't have the key to it. I don't know who had, but Glenda might have the key to it. But look at some of those pictures, because we even had pictures of the old Tar River before it was rebuilt, and then I even got them to put in, and I don't know whether they still got it or not, the slab that was on the last bridge before they built this pass bridge up there. I got the one that was on the side for Princeville, and Tarver got one that was on the side for them. So they are some of the people that you may be able to contact.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I was going to see if you had any artifacts or photos or documents that we could mm-hmm. get copies of or photos of just to help share Princeville's story. And
girl, I even had a DVD, but I had sent it to my cousin in Michigan, and unfortunately he's passed away. He's one of the cousins that passed away, and I wouldn't be able to even find out where it is right now. Things that we did, things that we've done. But have you seen this side of the river?
I haven't.
She should have that in there. As for is that that's a DVD, and it's called This Side of the River. That gives you a good information, including the clubs and the things that I was telling you about we used to hang at. You're going to see a picture. There's a picture of my dad's garden and them working in the garden. There's a picture of him feeding the hogs. And the hogs walking around in them little dirty areas. There are pictures of and people talking about different things that they have experienced in Princeville. So if you would check with the town manager, she should have a DVD on called This Side of the River.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's a lot of information in there as well. And history. From the lady that's at the history teacher from one of the colleges from North Carolina. Also the lady that does the history out there at Edgecombe Community College. So it's a lot of history in that this side of the river as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
This has been incredible. Thank you for letting us listen.
Okay, no problem.